The following podcast is intended for listeners over the age of 18. It contains mature subjects and adult discussions, so listener discretion is advised. As we are not doctors or psychiatrists, all advice is for novelty purposes only. All advice and discussion comes from our own personal experiences. Yours may well be different. Welcome to the Swing Set. Climb on up, there's always a swing available. On Life on the Swing Set, the podcast, we explore open relationships and swinging. The pleasures and passions, the promise and pitfalls. We discuss all aspects of swinging in a fun, open, and welcoming fashion, with a gleam in our eye, a bounce in our step, our hand down your pants. I got ahead of myself there. We may be biased. In fact, we most certainly are. But we don't sugarcoat, and each of us speaks honestly and earnestly about our thoughts, ideas, and experiences throughout our very own lives on the swing set. Thanks for swinging by. Hope you enjoy. Okay, everybody, welcome to Life on the Swing Set, the podcast. Tonight is episode 9, the ins and outs of swinger parties, where we'll be discussing one of the awesome things you can do as swingers, which is to go to a swinger party and maybe have sex with lots of people. I'm Cooper, and with me tonight is...
Sasha.
Dylan.
Kylie.
All right. So, you like the idea of swinger parties, and first of all, I know that Kylie is a little unsure about swinger parties, and I want to start with that.
I've been warming up to them, but it's convincing my fiancé, Darth, to do the same thing. Again, we've had such bad experiences in the past that he's stubborn, that he's still very reluctant to go to one, that it's going to be uncomfortable, that he's going to have to do something, or that someone's going to approach them wanting to do something with me or him, and then we're not going to want to for whatever reason, and then he's going to feel like he's obligated to do something with that person, even though I've tried to explain that's not the case.
Well, I mean, then, and don't just blanket say that's not the case, and that shouldn't be the case.
True.
That's the key. And a lot of it is going to swinger parties with people that you either know or know via association. Don't set yourself up for possible failure by going blanket to some place you've never been before and you have no idea and all that. So, Sasha... Mm-hmm. As someone who throws a lot of swinger parties.
Yes, we have quite a few.
What advice would you have for Kylie and Darth here?
Well, to begin with, let's start. Can we start with attendance list?
We can start with whatever you want. Beautiful.
I like that idea. Back to the parties, though. As far as starting with an attendance list, before we have a party...
See, I flustered her. I flustered her by offering
anything. And I'm sure you enjoy doing that.
I do.
But attendance, before we even plan to have a party, my husband and I will go through all of our friends lists, and, we know all the people who we want to invite. And then I get a little invitation, and we always have... Not a theme where, it's like a schoolgirl night, but, 1 year before taxes, we had...
Fun.
We had a New Year's Eve party the week after New Year's Eve that, let's start with the recession and everything. Let's, less is more. So let's start the year outright, wear less and come and do more. That kind of thing. We always have a theme. So it's, a little bit more fun to send out an invitation instead of just, hey, come to our house and party. Making your guest list is a big thing. Because you want to make sure that everybody is happy, that, they're friends that you have, that everybody's going to be comfortable together, that, all of the people that what they like, what they don't like, and you want to make sure it's a very cohesive party.
Well, before you even start making, selecting people, it's kind of good to decide what kind of party you're having, and then you can kind of select people from there. So if you're going to have swap party...
Oh.
Well, if you're going to have a full swap party,
See,
you don't
I don't
want to
think that's necessary.
A bunch of soft swap people. And...
I would. I invite everybody.
Or if you
know what?
Do,
and I let them do as much as they want.
Well, that's the thing. You may want to invite, multiple soft swap people, so that way the one soft swap couple doesn't feel, excluded or like they're being pressured into anything. So as long as there's a nice mix, that can work nicely.
Well, I think one of the things to remember is the goal of anyone throwing a swinger party is to, number one, invite people who aren't going to pressure anybody else. because that's a no-no in general. There should never be any pressure to do anything you don't want to do. And so if you, you know, as the host, know people pretty well, you don't have to be completely 100% familiar with absolutely everyone coming to the party. As long as it's like, oh, well, these people are friends with these people, and I trust this couple. So I know they're not going to bring anyone who's going to make me embarrassed to have them at my house.
Right. And we've allowed guests to bring other guests, you know, and it's always turned out fine. But I do. I invite everybody. Heck, you know what? During the summer, sometimes I have vanilla people there during the day and, you know, swingers there at night, and they cross each other's paths and have no idea that they did.
Actually, that's a great idea. I've done quite a few of those.
But usually at those crossover parties, let's be honest, the vanilla people have some idea that something's going on.
Yeah, mine are a little bit more well informed, and
we're also not very good at behaving ourselves. So. Usually lends itself to that. I mean, you do have to have an idea of what kind of party you're having. I agree, and by what kind of party you're having, you need to kind of have an idea of, is this a couples can go off and have fun in one of the many playrooms around the house, or is this a party that you anticipate with porn on the main room TV and people on the main floor having all sorts of down and dirty fun? Because those are two very different kinds of parties.
You know what? I've never decided what kind of party we're going to have. You know, it's just do whatever you feel like. I never
there
have
you go.
Decided.
All the conventional advice has gone out the window.
Yes, I'm sorry, but you know, I don't. I've never thought, oh, I have to invite, you know, soft swap or full swap, or I have to figure out where people are going to have fun at. You know, we open up to our room, which is plenty big enough for several people to fit in.
Has stadium seating, as we learned.
Yes, we have stadium seating, no popcorn. you know, we have room in our lower level. You know, and people have been on our couch in our living room. So people just explore our whole house. And I don't set aside, here's, you know, certain rooms. I have been to parties where, you know, certain rooms were only playrooms and certain rooms were only party rooms. And then certain places, you know, were picture places, and these rooms were off limit for pictures.
Yeah, you know, maybe I'm thinking things through too much, because you've had more parties than I have had or been to.
And She's very successful at that.
Yeah, exactly. You've had a lot of success not having to think it through, so maybe I just need to kind of sit back, relax, and let the magic happen.
Yeah, you'll have to travel over to our house and hang out with us at a party. I don't
see
plan.
How it's done.
To me, the biggest thing is, who's coming? What am I serving? What kind of alcohol are we having? And, you know, did I put the box of condoms out?
And what are you serving? That's an important question, because you don't want to serve anything that's going to sit heavy.
Right. And I serve, you don't want anybody to sit down with a big plate either. You know, it's not a buffet. You know, I generally do finger food or little snacks and stuff like that, that somebody can munch on while they're there. I don't want anybody, you know, hungry, but I also not, you know, providing an 8-course meal.
Well, you're providing a meal, but that meal is something different.
Yeah, screwing on it. Ah!
They can have only 8 courses of that meal, too, if they want, you know.
Absolutely.
Strongly agree. Well,
you find that the parties, they kind of evolve on their own, similar to the way swing dates evolve. You know, you can walk into them and not have the fullest extent or idea of what's going to happen. But if you're open to things happening, it makes it a lot easier and more enjoyable to, you know, sit back and relax at these things, meet people, talk to them. Don't be so concerned about, this is going to be a date where we are going to fuck these people. Kind of go in and be open to meeting people and talking and hanging out, because a lot of swing parties have just a lot of hanging out, talking, munching on food. And, you know, sex and porn, which is good, too.
You know, we have a lot of regulars at our parties, and I would say half the time, half the people don't get to the sex part. They're coming to meet new people and stuff like that. But that same people that might not play at this party will play at the next one, you know, or might not play at the second one, but have played already at a party at our house. Not everybody comes to play every time.
What would you say is the most important thing to have set up at the house for your guest? Is it the condoms? Is it the food? Is it the blankets thrown over the beds? So, you know, no stains. Do you recommend people come with their own Liberator throw?
There you go. Yeah. See what you did there?
It depends on which guest it is, you know.
See, like Marilyn, in fact, travels with a Liberator throw.
Yes, however, she happens to forget hers. We do have one here. You know what? I think most importantly, I want to make my house comfortable. No matter what that means, I want to make it comfortable for everybody. And I think that, to me, is the most important. You know, which means also when you're here playing, you know, I have to play a good hostess. Make sure that people are connecting with other people. Make sure everybody has a drink or they know where anything is if they need it. You have to be a good hostess, too. You can't just have a party and be at your own party. You know, there is a little work when people are here.
That's a great philosophy. I throw a lot of different kinds of parties. And, you know, whether it's a, you know, normal vanilla party or some type of hybrid or swinger party, that's generally the philosophy I take. I like to have fun, but at the same time, I like to serve. So serving's fun for me, and making sure everyone else is having a good time is pretty important. So, yeah.
Now, what would your advice be for someone who's planning their first swinger party?
Don't overthink it. You know, it's very easy. Maybe start out with, you know, four couples besides yourself. You got 10 people all together. You know, that's not overwhelming.
Marilyn and I have thrown a few swinger parties, and we've had smaller ones where it was maybe only three couples and us, and we've had larger ones, you know, with five or six or eight couples, and you find it's a very different experience in each one of these parties. The smaller ones tend to be a lot more intimate, so it's always good to have people who know each other better at the smaller ones. The bigger ones were more mingly type parties, which it's good to have a variety of different people who maybe don't know each other and might benefit from meeting each other at those kind of parties. And so the key is you need to be comfortable with what's going to be happening in your house, obviously. So if you have an area of your house that is off limits, designate it as such. You
know, lock
the door. If you don't want people going in your den, yeah, lock the door. Or especially if you have children and you don't want people fucking in your children's bed. Because a bed at a swinger party is a bed. And it's ready for fucking. Actually, one of our first swing party experiences, we were taken into a playroom at our friend's house by another couple who were more experienced than us. And we were just getting down to business when the missus who owned the house ran in with a blanket and said, "Please, please don't fuck on my daughter's bed without this."
Well, you know, nothing sexier than fucking to My Little Pony, so.
Yeah, what a mood killer.
Well, it was a very surreal night for the first experience, but it was, I mean, that's an important thing to think about before you have it. If you don't want someone doing something in your house, you need to make that very clear.
Yes, absolutely. Our daughter's bedroom is locked down, you know. And the rest of the house is open. You're free, you know. But that is one thing. Absolutely, you are nobody's allowed in our daughter's room.
Turn the washer on spin cycle.
Go ahead, honey. It's right in my hallway next to my bedroom.
There's a few things that if you're throwing a swinger party and you find it's just kind of people standing around being nervous, there are a few things you can do as a host to get things going. I mean, there's the classic games, Never Have I Ever, Spin the Bottle, 7 Minutes in Heaven.
High school days.
Truth or Dare. These all take on a lot more interesting fashion when you have a group of swingers, especially Never Have I Ever, because there's very rarely stuff that nobody has done, so that's recommended. How would you guys recommend getting things started if you aren't seeing things getting started? Maybe be the first one to get naked.
Strip poker usually does that to somebody.
Strip twister.
Yeah, strip anything. Really. Strip twister. Actually, you know, I've never done strip twister. That sounds like a great idea.
For a while, we were doing strip WarioWare for the Wii. That was fun. Or strip bowling. That was good.
Strip rock band. I like that.
How do you do strip rock band?
Well, you know, you take off your clothes and you sling on the guitar, and then you make sure the guitar strap is strapped right between the breasts, and you know, you just
okay. So it's just naked rock band. That's not
strip rock pretty band. Much just naked rock. Everyone just has to take their clothes off. There's no reason to not take your clothes off. But
well, there
no,
you go.
It's an excuse.
Sasha, have you ever had a party that didn't automatically get started and you had to give a little spark?
No.
Okay, you're just
I haven't. I'm sorry.
That's magic. Jeez.
I'm
man.
Sorry.
No, I'm going to have to. I'm serious. I'm going to take you up on your offer and just watch how it's done because apparently.
We are
going to
party with Sasha.
You have partied well, a little bit with us. I mean, even.
I have partied with you. It was a lovely experience. And you're right, it did evolve organically.
Yes, all of my parties are organically. And I think part of the whole thing is inviting people who are a little bit familiar with each other, whether they've just met them at a meet and greet or they know each other. We do a lot of rides, you know, bike rides and stuff where, you know, we don't end up back at somebody's house. But yeah, you've had a chance to meet people, you know, so people who kind of know each other or have seen each other or are aware, you know, then that gives them the chance to meet and they're already looking forward to coming. Also, one thing that I do is when I send out an invite, especially LL has a great feature that you can include, it shows a list of everybody coming. So even if they don't know who's going to be there and they see somebody interested on that list, they can already contact them prior to the party and say, hey, you know, I see you're going to the party too. It's, you know, it'll be great to meet you.
I actually did that with your party. I looked at the list of people and it was like, ooh, interesting, interesting, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then I wanted to come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's better than sending
not
out.
Not that I didn't already want to come to your party.
It's better than sending out an individual invitation because then everybody's like, well, who's going to be there? You know, and I know I always feel like that. Well, how do I know I'm going to want to, you know, be there with the people who are going to be there? So I always give the courtesy to send a whole guest list out, you know, or an invite that includes the guest list.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about attending a swinger party. You are listening to Life on the Swing Set, a podcast by and for the sexually open. We remind you that all advice and opinions on our show are products of our individual experiences in the lifestyle and should in no way be taken as anything more than commentary. Your mileage will most certainly vary. If you'd like to reach us for advice, to ask a question, or leave a comment, email us at contact@lifeontheswingset.com or leave us a voicemail at 573-55-SWING. That's 573-557-9464. As always, thanks for listening, and now back to our show. Okay, welcome back. Now we're talking about attending a swinger party. So as we started, we talked about how Kylie and Darth are reluctant to go to a swinger party. And so I guess I'll turn it to you two and myself for, you know, what advice can we give to kind of get over that reluctance to go to this party?
I think, first of all, you need to maybe go to, before you take him to a party where he thinks that he's going to have sex with somebody or do something he's not going to want to do, start with some bar meets where you just go and there's no expectations and explore that option first where you're just going to meet new people. And let him maybe get comfortable with that and then say, okay, let's maybe go to a party. Now that, you know, we can socialize and you're comfortable hanging out and, you know, nothing's really expected, let's go to a party and see what's there. You don't have to do anything when you get to these parties. And I'll tell you, the first two or three parties I went to, we didn't do anything. You know, we just went and we watched. I know that there is one party around here that maybe you'd be very interested in also and he'd feel comfortable. Where they actually give you colored wristbands. Red, you know, red means that you're just there to watch. Don't touch me at all. Yellow is soft swap. Green is a full swap. A pink means that the women are bisexual. And a blue band means that it's a single male. Or if the woman has a blue band on, it means she's open to single males. So maybe that kind of party would be good for you.
So you can end up wearing like four or five wristbands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there are parties like that all around the country, and basically it allows you to take control of your own destiny at these parties. You don't have to, you know, even sit there and worry, because it sounds like it's worry that's causing you to not go to these things. So eliminating that type of concern is really important.
Where can someone get information about the party that you were just talking about?
Oh, the best place to get information about these parties is through the your online swinger dating site. The one she was just talking about is advertised on LL, and I believe you said they advertised on a different site.
They have their own website also. They have their own party website, party planning website.
So you want to look for these type of websites and groups through your swinger dating site, because this is where you'll find people that are interested in similar things. And joining these groups, you know, you may join a group for photographers, and then you meet a few people on that photographer's group, and they say, hey, we're doing a party here. So then you have this connection, and you go in. So it's not you just walking into a party full of people. You have absolutely no idea who they are or what they're interested in.
And you have something in common. So even if you don't know them, you know, you have something that you know you're both interested in and you can talk about.
Well, you know, one of the things that you brought up with the party that uses the wristbands is the one option was the don't touch me, I just want to watch. I think that if you were to say to Darth, you know, hey, we don't have to do anything in one of these parties. Let's just go and meet people. Maybe we can kind of chime in and watch someone else and just kind of relax.
Oh, yeah.
That might be a good way of doing it. And you know, it's not a bad idea to let the host know that that's what you're going to be there for, too. And maybe with that understanding, it make it a little less intimidating for people that might get a little stressed out about it. I know that when I went to my first one, I shouldn't have been stressed out. I really shouldn't have, but I was a little stressed out about it. I ended up having a good time. I got over it. but the stress is still there, and you know, for people that have that and can't get over it, that might be one thing that helps.
If not, I'll just handcuff them and drag them.
That can be fun.
You know what? And I have to tell you, you know, I don't know if you want to call me a seasoned swinger. We've been doing this 3 years. We go to tons of parties and everything. I've been
You're
to all the clubs.
Party swinger.
Okay. Okay, we've been to all the clubs, and I'll tell you, half the time we go to a party, we don't end up doing anything anyway. So there's no pressure. You know, I don't feel pressure from anybody. I don't make anybody feel pressured. Neither does my husband. We just go hang out, and we meet people. And maybe we connect with them, and, you know, we set up a date later.
And the nice thing about a swinger party is, unlike, say, a bar meet or something like that, if you hit it off with a couple, you have an opportunity to do something right there without having to figure out, okay, do you want to follow us? Should we follow
Absolutely.
You? Or do we want to meet another night? You can go in, and just because you're going into a playroom at a swinger party doesn't mean you're fucking or swapping or even anything. You may be just having monogamous group sex, which is you're with your partner on one side and they're with their partner on the other side. And the thing to remember is it's not that different from swinger dating. You'll discuss what you're interested in and you'll go do whatever that is you're interested in. Now, the group setting is obviously a little bit different than that, and I'm not sure how it works at all parties, but at the parties I've gone to, if the door is closed, you're not welcome. If the door is open, you know, come on in and watch, and then wait in the sidelines. Maybe you'll get waved in. But
It's like a tag team.
You know, I was just going to say, tag!
Tag and then a slap on the ass, and, you know, the other guy's like,
get in there and do it.
Can I cut in?
Well, I mean, the key is, you know, most of the people I have met in the lifestyle are very respectful, and they understand that it is nerve-wracking, because we were all new once. So they're not going to suddenly assume that they can do something with you, and they shouldn't assume that. At all points, there should be a, is this okay if I join you? Can I join you? And then you get to make that decision, but you can't be afraid to say no. And that goes for any avenue of swinging. If you are afraid to say no, you should get out of the lifestyle. And you got to decide before you go to these parties what it is you're interested in doing. You may decide all you're interested in is, you know, voyeurism for that night. And I would advise you not change your position on that at the party, because that's where pressure can come in between the two of you. You know, if you decide we're going to go and we're just going to watch,
even if you really kind of want to do something else, you probably should just watch that first time and do something else next time.
I beg to differ.
Okay.
I do. I beg to differ, because what if you go there and, you know, maybe there was a couple you both saw online that you were attracted to, and you get to the party and they're coming to seek you out because, you know, what, maybe they saw you online too, but you guys never connected. And now you you're here with this couple at this party that you're very interested in. So now where are you going? You know, I wouldn't say discuss it in front of everybody else, but maybe pull your partner aside and say, hey, you know, what do you think about maybe just soft swap?
Absolutely. As with everything else, rules are meant to be broken at some point, and everything is fluid. So you need to, the one thing I worry about with a couple who hasn't been there before is for one of the partners to feel pressured into doing something simply because the other partner is interested in doing it. And that's a concern in all avenues of the lifestyle.
Yeah.
But that's a communication issue.
And you know what? And I guess because I've never had that pressure, and I know at our first parties we never did, but it never came to the point where we knew somebody already before we were attending this party, that I never had to worry about that. So I guess I fully respect your thoughts there.
Well, I will raise my hand and call myself a hypocrite, because at our first swinger party, we were soft swap going in, and we left full swap. So, you know, I'm more than willing to admit that, you know, I'm not saying do as I did. I'm saying be aware of your options. And if you feel more comfortable knowing that there's going to be no chance of swap, if that's what gives you the comfort level to go to a party, then feel free to stick to your guns. At the same time, if a really hot couple walks up to you and says, we want to fuck you now, and you look at your partner and he's got a big grin on his face, and you've got a big grin on your face, you may want to go fuck that couple, because, you know, that opportunity might not come by again.
No, you know, let me ask you, what do you guys bring when you come to a party? Because I know when we attend parties, we bring always try to bring something with us, just in case there was a lull in the party.
Okay, you're talking more party stuff than, or are you talking like supplies?
No, I'm pretty sure every time that you've come to our house for a party, you guys have come well prepared. I know Marilyn totes her little bucket.
My wife is a gusher, and the Liberator throw needs to come with us, because people never took me seriously when I said we needed towels. You know, they just keep going and laugh and bring a washcloth or something like that. And I said, no, you're going to need towels unless you want gush everywhere. So, yeah, we've just started bringing a tote bag with our Liberator throw. And you know what? If we're bringing a tote bag anyway, we throw the Fieldo in there. We throw some lube. We bring our new favorite, the Nexus Maximus double-ended dildo, and the Aslan leather strap. So we come prepared for parties, that's for sure.
Exactly. You guys are always well prepared, and it's fun. And even if there's a little lull in the party, as soon as you open that little tote bag and start handing things out, it's, you know, it's an icebreaker too.
Absolutely. You know? And you know what? You have a toy box full of interesting, unique sex toys.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to jumpstart a party more than anything else. You know, we had a party where Marilyn put out all her favorite toys on her dresser. And I've never seen a group of swingers more interested in sampling stuff. Also have some toy cleaner on hand, you know, for my my little STI safety disclaimer here.
I'd have a pot of boiling water on standby.
Just, you know, to throw it on stuff. Safe sex is extremely important always, but at these parties, I always bring condoms, because you never know if the host is going to provide condoms, and you shouldn't rely on anyone else providing condoms. And that goes for both sides. Male and female should always have their own condoms. And the worst case scenario in that is that you have way too many condoms, you know, which is never a problem.
Especially not when you order them from Amazon.
Yes, yeah. So, as we talked about in episode 8, I am now a subscriber to Amazon's condom delivery service. Mm-hmm. So I should have plenty of condoms at all times. But the one thing I want to say about bringing stuff with, and this is important, as Marilyn is a gusher, you know, it's unfair of someone to arrive at someone else's house and make a mess of their furniture, of their carpet, of anything like that. It's extremely unfair to do that. So if you are aware that something like this could happen, if you are aware that, you know, when, for guys, when you come everywhere. If you're that person, you need to rein yourself in or come prepared with your very own Liberator throw, which Life on the Swing Set also endorses.
Or tarp.
Or go in, you know, like Dexter and put up plastic wrap all over everything and then just, you know, fuck to your heart's content and spray it everywhere.
Oh, see, I was thinking Gallagher that, you know, you'd have an explosion everywhere, but, yeah.
Wow.
I see where our interests diverge there.
With our stadium seating, I did let everyone know that the front row will get wet. So, yes.
With our stadium seating. Maybe we should explain to them.
I like this idea a lot.
We have a sofa at the foot of our bed, and then in front of it is a little hope chest, and across from that is a dresser with a TV. So what happens is the hope chest gets pushed up against the dresser. The couch gets spun around and pushed up against the hope chest. So somebody can sit on the couch, and then there's like, you know, you sit on the dresser with your feet on the hope chest, and you're a little higher than the people in front.
And it's all with perfect view of what's going on the bed.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, good time.
Are you going to start selling tickets?
Sure. No, what do you think I can get for admission?
I think you could get a lot more than you could even imagine for admission to those shows.
Oh, my. It depends on who's
Well, you know, we are in a recession.
Yes, we are in a recession, and I wonder what the legality of that type of show is.
A gentleman did start a strip club in his own house.
Not legal.
No, it wasn't. All he did was that he made sure that there was no zoning laws, like in front of, like near a school or a park or whatever. And then he had it BYOB, so he didn't have any alcohol issues.
Oh boy!
Honestly, it was in the news that he created his own strip club and like that.
Yeah,
and
I'm sure that ended well.
Disclaimer: is Life on the Swing Set is not endorsing you throwing you having your own strip club or charging excessive money for people to view sex at your house in any way. We are not endorsing that. Even if you do have stadium seating in your bedroom. Last minute recommendations for either throwing or attending a swinger party. The most important one is go with an open mind and have some fun. If you have any questions or comments, you can email us at contact@lifeontheswingset.com or any of our first names at lifeontheswingset.com, and it will get to us. You can also call us at 573-55-SWING. That's 573-557-9464. Leave us a voicemail. Leave us a rant. Leave us a compliment. We love compliments. Or just tell us we're all perverted or sexy. You know, any of those. You prefer which complaints?
I prefer rants. You can send rants to Dylan at lifeontheswingset.com. I'm quite all right with that.
And we may read them on the air if they're especially fun.
I'll read them in the tone of Shakespeare, if you'd like.
In the tone of Shakespeare?
Yeah.
If you have questions that need advice, we have an advice column on the site. You can fill out the advice contact form there. So, you have many ways to reach us. This has been Episode 9 of Life on the Swing Set, the podcast. Thank you guys for attending. I've been Cooper.
And this is Sasha.
I've been Dylan.
Kylie.
And we'll catch you next time for our big 10th episode spectacular naked show. It's called It's Naked Time, and it's about getting naked with other people, which can be scary. Thanks for swinging by, everybody.